The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an anointed message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Praise God, we have been talking about supernatural strategic financial management. Today I want to talk about, that's a mouthful, isn't it? But I want you to understand how important it is that I believe strategic financial management is important. It's strategic, it is referring to long-term as opposed to short-term. Too many of us operate in our finances short-term, and we need to have a plan. Pastor Eddie and I was talking, we spent a little bit of time together this past week, and we were talking about this, and he refers to it as a blueprint. I call it a strategy. You can call it a plan or goals or whatever it is that you want to call it. It doesn't matter. What is really important is that we understand as believers in Jesus Christ that we're not only should we have a strategy or a blueprint for our finances, we should have a strategy, a blueprint for our life in every area of our life. And if we will approach our life like that, we open ourselves up to the blessings of God as we walk through this life and do things God's way. Because when I'm talking about a strategy, I'm talking about a strategy based on the Word of God. A strategy that can change your life. A strategy that can set you on a course that will direct you down a path that will cause or open the door for blessings to come into your life. So as I'm talking about strategy, supernatural financial management and strategy, I want to talk about the importance of finances. And today we're going to talk about the blessing of giving. And we're going to talk about three areas of giving that are very important. It opens the door to blessing. Now, I want you to understand something. I do not believe that you can just give, spend, and walk into blessings of God. Yes, God will do His part. But if you're not handling your finances properly, then you will find yourself in a very difficult situation. We are stewards of the things of God. First of all, we must understand that everything belongs to God. It's not ours. I was reminded this week of a little story that I heard about a little boy who was going to Sunday school. His name was Billy, and he walked to Sunday school every week. And his mom gave him a quarter for ice cream that he could have on his way back and a quarter for the offering. And on his way to Sunday school, he was walking down the street. He lived in town, and he was throwing those quarters up in the air, catching them. And suddenly, he dropped one of those quarters. It dropped in front of him, rolled over, and went down the storm sewer. His immediate response was, "Oh, God, help me. I just lost your quarter." That's our approach to things. We have this idea that God has a certain portion and we have a certain portion. God's is over here and ours is over there. It's not true. It all belongs to our Heavenly Father. It's all His. That's why it's important that when we start talking about giving, we recognize that we're not giving something that belongs to us in the first place. We're giving something that God has allowed us to acquire, to use, to manage for our benefit. God loves you that much, but also for His kingdom. He's given you the power to get wealth to establish His covenant in this earth. It's more than just about us. It's so much deeper than that. Proverbs says this: the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Now, as I said, I believe what Luke 6:38 says, "Give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom, for with the same measure that you measure with all, it will be measured back to you. Giving is a principle. It's a principle of sowing and reaping, and whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Praise God. Hello, Kim. Good to see you. Took me a long time to recognize you were here, but sorry. Awesome to have you with us. All right, well, let me try to get back on track since I lost my position, my place here. Give, and it'll be given unto you. So there's a process here that we have to recognize. There's a blessing attached to giving of our finances. But too many of us allow ourselves to get in positions when we're unable, when we do not have an abundance above and beyond meeting our needs. So we're unable to access this blessing in our life. The rich rule of the poor, and a borrower is servant to the lender. I want you to understand, greed is a problem in our society, and greed is a problem in the body of Christ. And you may not think so, but let me tell you something. If you're using all your money to fulfill your desires, any excess that you have to fulfill your desires, you're in trouble. There's a greed motivation there that you don't even realize. You see things that you have to have that are not you think you have to have, that are not really needs in reality. So we all have to be very careful that we're not allowing greed to take control of us. In Luke chapter 12, verse 15, Jesus said this. He said to them, "Watch out and guard yourselves from all types of greed, because one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And yet, that's exactly where we are here in the United States. We look at people and we see them with all kinds of possessions, and we immediately say that person's a success. In reality, we don't always know what's going on in people's lives. Too many times we're head over heels in debt. It's destroying us. The church, the ministry of the Church of Jesus Christ is hindered because we're unable to give the way God wants us to give. We're unable to respond to what Holy Spirit says to us. Now, sometimes we do it regardless of whether we think we have it or not, and we should. If God speaks to you, be obedient. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that later on in this series of messages, how I believe that there are times in our life where we don't believe we have the resources, but God says you do, and if you'll do it, you'll be blessed. I can give you numerous accounts in my own life, in other people's lives, that they have been obedient to Holy Spirit. They've done it. Now, in saying that, I want you also to understand no one should be able to manipulate you into giving something that you do not have. Don't allow that to happen. Listen to Holy Spirit. Not to televangelists or some preacher that's trying to manipulate, turn you, twist your arm and cause you to give something. Come on, let's be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. Yes, sir. Pastor Otis just pointed out that the Proverbs 22:7, I think I quoted it correctly, but on the screen it said, "The rich rule over the power." Okay, so it should be poor. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. All right, that's good. We need to make sure that we have things correct, and you're not getting the wrong idea about things here. There's a Japanese proverb that says this: even if you sleep in a thousand mat room, you can only sleep on one mat. That's a pretty good philosophy, you know? So why do we need all this stuff that we have? Because we can only use one here, one there, whatever it is. And I'm not opposed to being prepared, having extra this or extra that. You know, my mom is the queen of extras. You know, she has extra blankets, she has extra coffee pots, she has extra, you know, just about anything extra. That's why we call it Mom's Mart. So if we need anything, we go to Mom's Mart and she has it. She's prepared. Now, you got to understand, she grew up in a generation that being prepared was very important. You know, they didn't get to go to town, as we would call it, every time you turned around. So when you went, you tried to stock up on things, have everything that you needed, and be prepared. So I'm not opposed to that. But what I am opposed to is our thinking that we're taking care of ourselves. We must realize that our God is our provider. Max Lucado says that greed has a growling stomach. I tend to agree. No matter how much you feed it, it will never be satisfied. And you may not even realize that it's greed that's overtaking you. But the reality is that if you want, need, or feel like you need and desire, and you're an impulsive buyer, there's something going on in your life that needs to be broken. There's a curse that has overtaken you, and the enemy's going to use it to destroy your life. But God, Jesus Christ, is still on the throne. He'll break that curse in your life. Do not allow your impulses to control you. All right. I'm not getting a lot of amens this morning. When greed controls a person, self-satisfaction is the ultimate goal. So that's how we can determine whether we're walking in greed or not. The average American family devotes a full 1/4 of its income to outstanding debt. We spend 110% of our disposable income trying to manage debt. What's that say about our stewardship? I think it's something that we really need to visit in our lives. Where are we? I think John D. Rockefeller said it best for most of us. He was the richest man on earth at the time when he was asked, how much money is enough? And his response was, just a little more. Just a little more. I think it hits home when we think about that, right? Come on, how many of you would like to have just a little more? Yeah, come on, be honest with me. I'm here, I want a little more. Yeah, Otis wants a lot more, amen. That's an honest person. And that's not wrong. But when we get it, what are we doing with it? That's what we have to look at. What are we doing with it? How can we overcome greed? I believe we need to be strategic about our finances and particularly about our giving. Stop borrowing and spending frivolously for our own desires and begin to save and, most important, give freely to God and His kingdom. John Wesley said this, the founder of the Methodist organization. He said, make all you can, save all you can, and give all you can. Good philosophy. Listen to what Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24 says. One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. That's the NIV version. So today we're going to start talking about three types of giving. And we're going to begin with tithing. I'll get through the tithing part of it, but then we're going to talk about giving of free will offerings and giving almsgiving. Free will offerings are offerings that God speaks to our heart to give, to meet somebody's need, to sow into different ministries that God speaks to our heart to do, to support an evangelist or a person that comes. When we take up offerings, a love offering for a speaker that comes in, that's a free will offering. God doesn't tell you exactly how much we're supposed to give in a free will offering. Sometimes I think it'd be easier. Just give me an amount. You know, God, in your word, tell me, you know, I'm supposed to give 10 or 20%, whatever. But no, God wants to deal with you individually, each one of us individually, and cause us to give based on what he has blessed us with and our desire to be faithful to him. So in any given situation, God's going to speak to you to give any amount. That's why I believe it's so important that before you give, when you're making a free will offering, pray, ask God. Don't just take a couple of dollars out of your billfold or out of your pocketbook and throw it in the offering. Ask God what he wants you to do. Hear from him. He'll speak to you. All right, let's talk about tithing. What is a tithe? I heard a man say one time, I give 5% of my income as tithe. Well, no, you don't. You couldn't give 5% of your income for tithe because tithe literally means 10%. The tithe originated in the Old Testament. It became a mandate under the Mosaic Law. And today, the tithe, there is a special blessing connected to tithing because it's a spiritual law that God has established for the good of his people and the release of blessings. And we're going to look at the particular blessing. In the Old Testament, Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek, who was the priest of Salem. He gave 10% of everything that he was able to acquire from the kings that came and defeated Sodom and the other cities around that area. Abraham went out, took his people. They just defeated those kings, took all the spoil. And when he came back, he gave 10% of that to Melchizedek. And then he released it back to the kings because he said, the king of Sodom said, you know, I want to give you all this as a blessing. And he said, no, you're not going to be the one that causes my blessing. God is. So he refused to take it. Believe me, it was a huge amount. Jacob, in Genesis chapter 28, Jacob told God, as he was fleeing from his brother, whom he had taken the birthright from, who had deceived his father into speaking a blessing over him in the place of his brother. He was on his way to his uncle's for safety because he knew his brother was after him. His brother wanted to kill him. He was angry. And as he was on his way, he prayed and he said to God, he said, if you will bless me, I'll give you 10% of everything that you give. Jacob was faithful. He went down to Laban, his uncle. He was there for about 20 years. And in that time, 20-year period of time, when he came back, he had cattle and sheep and abundance of goods and servants and family. He had more than enough as he came back. The blessing of God was upon him because he was faithful to be obedient to his pledge to God. In the Old Testament, there's a tithe. I want to make sure that we see that there's several types of tithe in the Old Testament. A tithe was to be given to the Levites. In turn, they were to give it to the priest. And let me share this with you. In Numbers 18, verse 21 through 26, I'm not going to read all that. I'm going to tell you, you need to read it. It's the Word of God. This is what God said. When they bring their offerings to the Lord, the Levites would receive 10% of that, and then 10% of that, the Levites were those who served the priests. They did the work in the tabernacle. So they would take 10%, the best of the best, and give it to the priests. So everyone's needs were met. The purpose of all this is so that God meets the needs of all those who serve in His kingdom and meets the needs, and we'll go on and find out, meets the needs of all the people, even those who are poor, widows. All right? We're not going to read that, but we're just going to move on to the next one. The Israelites were also to bring a tithe of their produce. Year by year, every year, they were to bring 10% of the produce and of their animals. They were to bring the best to God. That you can find that in Deuteronomy 12, 5 through 18, and 14, chapter 14, verse 22 through 26. It also goes on, I do want to point this out. He tells them that if they're too far away to bring all their stuff to do this, sell it, and then come to the place, to Jerusalem, where the temple is. Purchase all kinds of good things, wine and food and everything, whatever your heart desires, and have a party. Throw that party with the Levites, with the poor. Invite everybody. Have a good time. You see, God's not trying to, he is not in any way trying to bring oppression upon you. What He has given you, He wants you to enjoy. He wants you to enjoy this life. He wants you to enjoy relationships. He wants to make provision for everyone. So He said, go there and let's have a great big party. Now, it wasn't a crazy party. Not the parties like I used to go to and be involved with. It was a party, a celebration of God. And everyone got to be a part of it. And then, the next thing I want to share with you, let me read that to you real quick because I think it's probably important that we hear it. And you shall spend that money for whatever your heart desires. Hallelujah. Wow. I'd be buying a bunch of steak, some lobster. I don't know. What's your heart desire? Those are the kinds of things that I like. I enjoy. You know, I'd ask Jane to bake me a bunch of pie. I'll get some of these things that I really, and that's what he's saying. That's what you're supposed to do. Enjoy it. For oxen, for sheep, for wine, for similar drink, for whatever your heart desires, you shall eat there before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice, you and your household and everybody with you. Rejoice before the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. How many of us are rejoicing because we have provision every day? Well, let's rejoice before the Lord. Oh my God, I just don't have enough. Well, rejoice over what you do have. Thank Him. It is good to serve the Lord. And the last part of the tithe, every third year, they were to bring that tithe that they were to bring to the temple and to Jerusalem to worship. They were to bring a portion of that, 10%, and it was to be laid up in a storehouse. And that the purpose of that was to meet the needs of the Levites, the priests, the poor, the widows, anybody who would have need. If they did that every third year, there would be a storehouse full for people who had needs. That's the importance of understanding the tithe. Now listen, they lived in an agrarian society, a farmer society, where they grew crops and animals. Everybody did. That's how they survived. Our society is a little different than that these days. You know, we work somewhere, we have a business, something, we derive an income, and we have this thing we call currency. Amen? It's really fiat currency. It's a piece of paper worth nothing, but I'll talk about that later sometime. But the reality is, that's how we trade. That's how we buy. That's how we buy the food that we need. So in order for us to be able to recognize this principle or apply this principle in our life, then we need to recognize that our income is what we're supposed to be tithing on. Now, if you have other things, if you're growing a garden, it's a good thing. Tithe on that. Give 10% of that away. If you have some animals, you can do that as well. But most people, most farmers who do that, if they have something like that, they're going to sell it, then they take the income from that, and they tithe on that income. So the reality is, it makes it much easier for every one of us sitting in here, including the church, if we tithe on our financial income, our salaries, whatever they might be. So our society is a little different. Let's look at the scripture in Malachi that talks about, that is used, most people use this scripture, about tithing. Malachi 3:8. Will man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer. Listen to these blessings that attach to the tithe. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Hallelujah. We need the devourer rebuked from our finances.
Yes, that's right.
All of us.
Yes.
Obedience to this. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, and the Lord of hosts, says the Lord of hosts. So we can trust that our God, according to the word of God, that he is going to do exactly what he said he would do. He'll bless us, and he will rebuke the devourer on our behalf. Now listen, I know people start talking about, when you start talking about tithing and giving to the church, and you know, people, all kinds of things run through people's minds, and you think, oh, he's just trying to get in my pocket. No, really. I'm sharing these things with you because I care enough. I believe in these principles. I've applied these principles to my life since I became a Christian. When I first started learning about tithing, being taught about it, and I started studying for myself, I became convinced that God would bless his people who would give 10%. I'm convinced of it. So I share this with you because I care. Because I believe in God's principles. And if you will apply it to your life, he will bless you. Now, I want to tell you something. This church is blessed. We have a bunch of givers here. And it's incredible what we're able to do with the amount of people that we have. God is so good to us. But this is a principle that needs to be shared so that you can walk in the abundance of God. You know, a few years ago, there was a Mercedes-Benz commercial, and it showed a camera panning in on a Mercedes-Benz in a crash test. And it showed that Mercedes-Benz crashing into the wall. And then it showed the damage, which was minimal. And then it showed the crash dummy. It was unscathed, And then it panned out and it went to an interview with a representative of Mercedes. And the person interviewing the Mercedes representative asked, you know, he said this. He said, why is it the Mercedes does not enforce the patent on their vehicles in regards to the safety of their crash? And the representative said this. He said, well, in life, some things are too important to keep for yourself. Some things are too important to keep for yourself. They share that information with all the auto industry because that's too important. We're talking about lives here. When it comes to tithing, we're talking about your physical and spiritual life. It's too important not to share. God has designated the tithe to meet the needs of ministries, ministers, and to meet the needs of all those that the finances flow out from the church into our community. And I want to tell you, if you have any, we do not hide anything. If you have a desire to know what's going on in finances, all you have to do is ask. We will show you what's going on. We'll sit down and explain what's happening. You can see salaries and what's going on, what comes in and what goes out. We're completely open with that. We have nothing to hide. I don't have a secret mansion in Florida, believe me. However, I better make sure you understand, I'm getting ready to go to Florida this week. But it's not because I have a mansion down there. My granddaughter's playing in a softball tournament. No, it's an all-star thing that I really want to go and support her. So that's why I'm going to Florida. However, there is nothing to hide here. It's all completely open for everybody to know and see what's happening. Because we believe what we're doing is so important. We believe what we're doing is meeting the needs. When people have needs in our community, in our church, in our community, the surrounding area, we reach out and we try to touch those lives. Tony and Christy are doing such an awesome job with our food pantry. Our Hearts and Hands thrift store. You know, things that this church were operating. But there's so much more. We have a benevolence fund that goes out and touches people who have needs. Whatever their need might be, we go for it. Try to make sure people's needs are met. We believe in this community. Therefore, our money goes into this community. Your money goes into this community. That's what the tithe is all about. It pays my salary, yes, and other people who are on salary here, which is very few, but and those who are underpaid, most of them, but they're not doing it for money. None of us are. We're doing it for the kingdom. That's why the tithe is to be brought, according to Malachi, brought to the storehouse, and your church, your local church, is the storehouse. We are the storehouse, and we are responsible for handling those funds and doing what is right before Almighty God. When you bring your tithe, your 10%, now people say, what is 10%? Well, I have known people that tithe on 10% of their net, and at the end of the year when they get a tax return and they tithe on that. I've known people that tithe. We tithe on our gross, whatever is we, you know, whatever we're being paid, we tithe on that. Whatever extra comes in from whatever area, we tithe on this because I believe so much in this principle. We cannot outgive God. Therefore, when it comes in, right from the beginning, 10% goes out to God. Comes here, this church. So however, whatever God deals with your heart in regards to doing this, just be obedient You cannot try me, God says. Try me and see if I'll pour out this blessing on you. Try him. I challenge you today to try him. See what he says. He, absolutely, brother, he will be proven to fulfill his word. Now people say to me, Pastor, that's an Old Testament principle. Well, it is, but Jesus had an opportunity in the New Testament to say, well, you don't need to do this any longer, but he didn't. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, he is confronted by scribes and Pharisees, and they're trying to trap him, and he says this to them. They're talking about the tithe and the things that they're giving, and he says, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. Those are the most important things in our life. Mercy, justice, faith. We can't, I want to make sure that you understand this. You cannot tithe and expect to walk completely under the blessings of God if you're not showing mercy and walking by faith. We're to show mercy to one another, show mercy to other, to people. Tithe is just connected to our lifestyle as a believer in Jesus Christ. It's just one of those things that cause us to be able to walk in the blessings of God. And he goes on to say, now here's the key to this. Jesus did not tell them not to do that. First of all, he says, justice and mercy and faith, these you ought to have done without leaving the other undone. Jesus could have said, this is what is most important, forget about the tithe. No, he said, do it all. Show yourself faithful to God in every area of your life. Be faithful. Now, I'm throwing out a huge challenge to you this morning. Maybe you've never tithed before. I'm not condemning you. I'm telling you, try him. Be faithful to him. He will be faithful to you. I can tell you from experience. Tammy and I have tithed, and we have never seen God forsake us. Now listen, I'm not trying to tell you that we've always had this huge abundance all the time. We've gone through some difficult times. Life is life. There's ups and downs. But through it, we never failed to tithe, and God was never forsaken. Has never failed us. He always met our needs. Because that's the kind of God we serve. Stand with me. I heard a story of an ambitious young man who came to his pastor. He was making $40 a week. And he told his pastor, Pastor, I want to commit to tithing, give $4 every week. And so they sat down, they prayed, and he said, okay. A few years later, this young man came back, and he was paying $500 a week in tithe. And he called the pastor up, and he said, Pastor, I really need to talk to you. So came to the pastor, and the pastor, they talked, and he said, listen, Pastor, when I was just giving $4 a week, tithing wasn't hard, but it's really difficult now. You think God will release me from the tithe? And the pastor said, no, I don't think so. Well, he said, what can we do? He said, well, what I can do is I can pray for you that God will make it easier for you to tithe. And he said, okay, yeah, let's do that. So the pastor started praying for him. He said, oh, Heavenly Father, we're just thankful for George and that he recognizes the importance of giving and tithing. But recently, Father, he's become greedy. So in order to make this easier for him, give him a $40 a week income instead of what he has now. And the guy jumped up and he said, wait a minute. What are you doing? He said, I'm doing exactly what I said I would do. I want to make it easier for you to tithe. Do we really believe in the principles of God? Let me tell you another story right here at the end of this, because I love this story. Alexander Kerr was saved under D.L. Moody's ministry. And this was like 1902, 1903. And he started learning the Bible. D.L. Moody had a great ministry that taught people about the principles of God. And he started learning to do things. And he read a book by Bishop Allen that taught about Jacob's blessing and how he committed his life to tithing on everything that God blessed him with, and how when he came back, he was completely blessed, totally blessed. So Alexander Kerr said, hey, I'm going to put this principle into operation in my life. And he began to tithe. Not long after that, he started the Kerr Glass Company, where he's one of the things that they did was manufacture glass jars for fruit jars. And he was, in 1906, he was well on his way to becoming the most successful jar company in the United States at that time. But he had invested everything he had in the plant that he had in San Francisco. He left and he was someplace else. I don't remember exactly his location at the time, but he was somewhere, another geographic position or place in either United States, he may have even been in Europe. But while he was gone in 1906 in San Francisco, they had the great San Francisco earthquake. It shook everything. Anything that could be shaken was definitely shaken. During that earthquake, San Francisco was pretty much ravaged. His plant was in the middle of San Francisco. When he called back, when he found out about it, he called back to his manager, and the manager said, or wired back, I shouldn't say call, it wired back to his manager, and his manager said, everything is devastated. Everything's burning. Your factory is right in the middle of it. You're ruined. Well, Alexander Kerr, who had put that principle of tithing in his life, said, I don't believe it. If that's the case, God is not faithful. He said, I don't believe it. And he stood on the Word of God. About a week later, he got another telegram that said, the fires are still raging. It's so hot around your factory. I can't even get close to see what's going on. I don't have any idea what's happening. Alexander Kerr still stood on the Word of God. When he got back to San Francisco, his manager came running up to him. He said, I don't know how it happened, but there was fire all around your factory, all around our factory. It came so close that it licked up against the gates of our factory, but it did not enter our property. When Alexander Kerr walked into his factory, now this was a wooden factory in that day, huge two-story wooden building, had glass refineries in it, had fuel, some kind of fuel, I don't know what they used at that time, to generate the power to make glass, all over the place, all over that building. His building was right in the middle. Everything all around it was burnt and singed. This is a historical fact. Everything all around it was burnt. His factory was the only thing in that area that was left. When he walked in, he took account of all the things that they had, and he found out that nothing in the factory was broken or harmed or burnt, and not one jar was broken. Isn't that incredible? Our God is working on your behalf. when you're faithful to Him, He certainly is faithful to us. Even when we're not faithful to Him, He's faithful to us. But His principles must be acted upon. If we want to see His blessings, we must act upon His blessing, upon His word. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're just thankful today that You are still on the throne and You're still doing the things that You promised You would do. You direct Your people. You strengthen us and You encourage us. And Father, today we just give You glory and honor. I ask You to touch the hearts of people. I want them to walk under the umbrella of Your blessings. That's the reason I share these things. I want it to be true. I want it to operate in their lives. You're operating in my life, Lord God, and I want to share those good things with other people. So today this message is about Your blessings coming up on us when we're obedient to You. Father, we give You glory and honor as You go with us. Cause us to glorify Your name in everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Have an awesome day. Remember, love never fails.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message, because our desire is to connect you to God and His kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.